Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the build-up show of Pearl Chelsea this weekend in the Premier League. Both teams will have to bounce back from Champions League defeats. Chris, Pajak, John Mason, Jonas, Chris, you first. It's these again.
I know.
I've seen too much of Chelsea already this season because that Super Cup was just almost one of the most harrowing experiences of my life.
Turned out to be really tough good. Game that though, wasn't it?
That was so long and so arduous. Ultimately, with a great reward at the end of it. But I was really expecting them to be terrible this season, and they've been really up and down. To be fair, but I think the performance that we saw from Chelsea in that Super Cup means that I am, and I think we should be very, very wary of how good they can be.
Absolutely. I think, you know, for me, I think Kante is still one of the best midfielders in the country. You know, playing his trade over here, I think he's absolutely brilliant. And the way that he played against us in the Super Cup,
he was the best midfielder on the pitch.
I think he was the best player on the pitch. Never mind just the best midfielder. I think he was that good. And he was in one of, and he's always in one of those types of form, isn't he? Where if he plays, he plays like that, and it's almost like you can't get past him. No matter if there's four midfielders against just him, you feel that Kante is going to come out on top. And, you know, I thought there'd be a much bigger drop-off from them losing even Hazard than there has been. I think Lampard does deserve credit for the way that he's managed to get Abraham and Mount up for, the early part of the season. Obviously, Mount's picked up an injury against Valencia. Hopefully, he's not out for too long. But Liverpool should capitalise on the fact that he probably won't be playing. The likelihood is Willian or a Pedro will be in there anyway. Kante was rested midweek, so he's going to come in fresh and firing. It's going to be a very, very tough game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because being able to rest Kante for the Champions League game, but it maybe tells you a little bit. Whereas we'd rested the week before, went strong in Napoli. I suspect we'll go just as strong again for this game. But I wonder whether there is a thing in where Lampard knows that the Premier League's where he really needs to be getting things right.
Yeah, I can't imagine he'd want to get beat by Liverpool at home. You know, it's quite a blow, isn't it, if one of the top six team beats you, particularly on your own ground. So you won't want to lose it. And he'll obviously think after the Super Cup that he can beat us.
Yeah.
If he gets his best team out. And what I liked about them, and didn't like about them at the same time, was the way they were able to get along the lines and get behind us and at pace. I thought that was really impressive. And I do wonder why they're not doing as well as I would have expected after that game.
Oh, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Because obviously Tammy Abraham starting midweek, he's been in unreal form for them since we played them. Mercifully wasn't when we actually did play them. But it makes you wonder whether they'll put Giroud in for this because he did have such a good game against us. He caused us so many problems. But weirdly, because of the way the form's kind of panned out, I actually think at this point now we feel a little bit more up to speed in what we're doing. I think I'd actually probably prefer Giroud in this game than to
Tammy Abraham's into my fantasy team right from the start of the season.
Yeah.
And then when we played them, I took him out because I thought he's not going to play. Giroud's going to play.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he plays and starts scoring.
Starts scoring goals.
Had to put him back in again.
Is he in now?
Yeah.
for my dad's comfortably top of the league, unfortunately. yeah,
that's not why I brought it up.
No, of course not. the Mason Mount stuff is interesting. I mean, you know, we keep coming back to this. Not going to celebrate an opponent getting injured, if only because, as I think Chris is right to say, we hope he's not out for a long time because he's a really good player, and we're done with Chelsea for a bit after this. You know what I mean? I want Chelsea taking points off people, you know, elsewhere in the league. I'm happy for him not to be involved in this game because he had a really good game against us in the Super Cup again. I think he's been one of their top performers so far. So if he's unavailable for this game, then it has to be a good thing.
Yeah, like I said, take advantage. I think that's what Liverpool need to do at the moment. You know, he already feels like one of the reasons that Tammy Abraham's doing so well. You know, he's arriving late into the box. He's pulling defenders away. Abraham's able to find a little bit of space maybe because of that. He's scoring goals himself. He's been a very dangerous player, but equally, I think if Liverpool play to their potential and we bounce back, I can't see the Chelsea have got quite enough to take us on.
I think it's weird because we talked about this on the Final Word show, Dad, you know, that Liverpool looked knackered by the end of the game, but I think so much of that is psychological and physiological. I think, you know, when the game 1-0 is pretty much done, it's definitely done at 2-0. It makes us seem like we were probably more broken than we were.
You're bound to be deflated, aren't you? Suddenly you concede a bad penalty and then you concede another one. You know, and you're playing in 28 degrees heat or something, and you know, So I think we'll be fine. You know, come the Chelsea game.
Yeah, if nothing else as well, I think there's a, because I think Tammy Abraham's actually referenced it about taking out their angle on Liverpool, which sounds like wonderful, famous last words. But I think both sides will be doing have a similar mentality, and you know, let's move away from talking about Chelsea. But for Liverpool, Chris, this was a period of the season last year where we struggled a bit. You know, we were losing away games in the Champions League, and then we were dropping points. We were drawing games in the Premier League as well. We very much need to get back on the horse here, because for as much as it was great, there was that lovely 5-point lead that we have over Manchester City. This is still the nature of the game, still the nature of the beast, and the nature of the challenge facing us is that we need to get back up and running very, very quickly, because they're not going to drop many points.
Klopp has done that consistently over the last 2 years. You know, we don't lose normally two games on the bounce. We very rarely lose a game, never mind two on the bounce. So, or even just two poor results is few and far between for us nowadays. So the squad are easily capable of bouncing back and performing well. I think the big thing for me, and I don't know whether you guys talked about it on the Final Word show, but we had 2 days rest, and I know Chelsea had 2 days rest before their defeat as well. You have Sunday and you have Monday, and then we travelled away. Mm. You know, it's a 3-4 hour flight. At least we've got 5 days, you know what I mean, or 4 days rest, or whatever it is. It's a much bigger gap for us this time. There'll be proper recovery. There'll be proper tactical analysis. They've got film as well on Chelsea and how they've played this season. Yeah. We've played them once already, so we know how we think they're going to set up. Klopp's very good when he's played teams before.
Our defence is functioning better now than it was in the Super Cup. Yeah. We were still sort of bedding in this new high line, weren't we? And I think we got caught quite a lot in that game playing that system. And I think we're much better at the back now.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Because I think everyone's a reaction to the Napoli. I think inevitably people lose their heads over all kinds, don't they? Especially on social media. But I think the response to the defeat against Napoli has been actually quite pleased with how well people have taken it. Because the good thing, kind of like the Chelsea thing, we had that basis of comparison with Napoli last season. So you can see how much better we were in general, and you can see the odd decisions and mistakes and all that of what ultimately cost us in that game. But so many people immediately turn into, well, Chelsea's the game I really want to focus on. Chelsea's the game we really wanted to win, yada, yada, yada. And that's great talk, but it needs to be, this is the point now where it needs to be backed up, because you're right, you know, we are historically very good at bouncing back from defeat. There's a nice thing about it at the moment. And if it pans out like last season, you're better off getting your defeats out the way in the Champions League, because we've proven you can
certainly
lose
away.
Well, yeah, you can prove you can lose games and still
they're not crucial,
progress.
Are they? That's the thing. You get beat in the Premier League, you know, you've got City breathing down your neck. Whereas if you get beat in the league, in the Champions League, well, it's redeemable, isn't it? Yeah. That's the thing. The thing is, we're still a really difficult team to beat.
Yeah.
The fact that we got beat by Napoli, you know, that's it's atypical, isn't it?
Well, I was saying about that is that it showed you how you can lose games, and you can lose any game of football the way that we lost to Napoli. And it doesn't matter how good you are. If a referee gives a bad decision, or you get it, or someone just has a mistake in them, or whatever, that's how City lost games last season. City lost games because someone would stick a worldie in the top bin, which can happen. They very rarely were outplayed and lost games of football, and that's the one thing for us, is that's what we need to go get back onto the horse, and that's why we should have a general sense of confidence going into this weekend, and I'm glad that seems to be the pervading mood around things.
The other thing for me is Napoli played really well as well. Mm. You know, there was two teams. First half, it was a brilliant game of football. Second half, I thought it looked like they changed refs. It was refereed in a completely different manner. But Napoli still played well. They still played through us at times. You know, we saw what can happen in the Premier League last weekend when Norwich played through Manchester City. They played very, very well and got a deserved result. Napoli got a deserved result, even in the manner in which that we conceded our goals, where, you know, it was just kind of taken away from us. Napoli played really well. Liverpool played really well in that game.
Yeah.
There's no performance issues here for me moving into this weekend.
This isn't coming off the back of
Napoli away
last season, where you're going, God, we were dreadful there. The midfield didn't have control. We couldn't pass the ball to our own men. You know, we got five reasonable opportunities at least in that game, and that for me is the barometer of roughly where you are as a side. And it always, that sounds like clutching at straws when you're not in a great run of form, but we've been in great form for so long that we're allowed to lose the occasional game, particularly when you're still putting decent performances in.
You're a 5-7 yard pass away from Salah scoring off Mane. I mean, and that was it, 0-0. Now, Liverpool, I think, will create opportunities against Chelsea. You've put the stats down on here, and I laughed when I read it. They're scoring like the top four. They're equal third with Spurs with 11 goals, and they're conceding like bottom three side with 11 goals conceded, with a goal difference of zero after five games.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Liverpool aren't up and down like that. And actually, that's kind of like Chelsea have been so far this season. They've had good games, they've had bad. That's what happens when a new manager comes in and young players, inconsistencies happen throughout. Yeah. Now, they might bounce back and they might have a better game, but they are weak defensively compared to us. Yeah, and we need to be able to take advantage of that.
They'll probably raise their game against us because it's us.
Yeah.
Particularly after losing in the Champions League. But we're good enough to score goals against them, and we should be able to win.
It's Brewster goes away with the travelling squad, doesn't make it on the bench in Champions League, Chris, and I wondered at the time whether it was a game plan there to have the extra defender on the pitch, and it's the hypothesis it might have been Robertson's fitness, which is fine. I wonder whether, you know, we don't know whether Divock Origi is going to be fit for this. If he is, great, but when we reach the point where not having a natural replacement for the front three, we might need. So, I mean, it's a lot of pressure to throw on a Brewster. It's probably a week too soon, really. You know, it would have been nice to get the Milton Keynes game, you know, out of the way. But what are you thinking on this? Would you chuck him in at least on the bench for this, just to give you someone? Because the issue we faced with Napoli is you're chasing a game, and you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain and Jadon Sancho as your offensive substitutions.
Yeah, I'm not sure we did chase the game against Napoli, and I think that might be why Brewster wasn't on the bench. I'm not sure it was ever in Klopp's mind to go and chase the game. Mm-hmm. If Liverpool were a goal down or two goals down and found themselves that, I don't think you need to kill yourself over 90 minutes and blow yourself out when you've got a huge league campaign to come back to. Is my honest opinion of it. Now, there'll be people out there who disagree with me and stuff like that.
But does that change now that it's the Premier League? And
It does. And I do put Brewster onto the bench in case you need a spark or something, because you will chase points in the Premier League. We saw from last season, and John said it earlier, you don't need to win every game in the Champions League. And after six games, if you're through,
meant to need to win every game in the Premier League, but City have changed the rules, haven't they? Yeah. So, you know, you're right, the pressure's on there. One little nice narrative around it is that potentially, anyway, obviously, he's come from Chelsea, hasn't he, Brewster? And there might just be something in that, you know, he's also got, I mean, potentially it would have been Mason Mount, but obviously definitely Tammy Abraham. You've got a bunch of kids who've come up from the same crop as well through England sides and what have you. He will think
if he gets on that he has something to prove.
Yes.
Because of the other, like Tammy Abraham's, and people are scoring goals
yes.
and playing regularly. The only proviso for me, though, is in terms of who's fit and who isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, if Robbo, for instance, isn't fit and we have to play, you know, Gomez or Milner there, that's obviously opens up space on the bench, you know, for Brewster as well. Yeah. But there may be, you know, other things that, that come into play which we don't know about yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about preferred 11s in a moment. But before we do, the Around the League podcast, hosted by Ben Kelly, was an absolute belter this week as they got to look back in depth and detail at the Man City Norwich game and a whole host of other issues that are going on in the world of the Premier League. Isn't it?
Yeah, no. Well, I said to me mate last week, who's a United fan, and I was quite surprised at the amount of people that you mentioned Lukaku there, Mkhitaryan yeah. went, Darmian went,
was it Sanchez went?
Sanchez went. I don't know, Sanchez didn't play. Well. Smalling's gone, and I think there's two or three others. You haven't started Europa League football yet. Does it concern you? Like thinking you're saying you should be higher up in the league, but like you talk about our squad depth. You start playing football on Thursdays, which is a nightmare, by the way. Yeah. Going to, I think you've got some difficult away trips as well, haven't you? To then play Premier
Where
football.
Where is Astana?
I think it might be Azerbaijan.
Ah, okay. Local.
But that might be wrong.
Not too far.
Yeah.
But going forward, that continue? Because like the next month for us is pretty hectic. And imagine it is for you guys as well. And FA Cup football in there as well.
Yeah, so it's one of them. The players we got rid of, I'm happy with what we've got rid of because we've been screaming for it for about 5 years. Players like Darmian has been ready to go for 3 years. And for whatever reason, it's not happened. They've held on to him. Smalling's been given new contracts, but they finally got rid of him. Somehow Rocco's still there. And it's one of them, we are light now in most areas of the squad. But I think we've got to get rid of those players and get more when the opportunity starts, basically. It was never going to be sell 8 by 8 sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather have gotten rid of them than keep them around, to be honest. And, you know, if we get undone in the Europa League, so be it. I think we have to look at it as a sort of longer-term thing. I do think we're going to have a poor season, but I think we could be quite a lot better next season. The defence looks sorted out. It's the midfield that's the big issue, and back up across the front three, which we did have. But you know, Sanchez was quite clearly bringing everyone down. It seemed to be in the same way that Mourinho was, a sort of just a miserable bloke lumping around the training ground sort of thing.
On £450,000 a week,
exactly, and sucking all the money away. And Lukaku seemed to fall out with everyone at the club. So I'm happy to see him go. We got most of the money back as well. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we are obviously quite light in a few positions, but I think it's for the greater good, if you like.
Next, I caught up with Scott from 100% Chelsea.
And what about, like, you know, we talk about Chelsea's weaknesses and stuff, Scott. How, if Chelsea to win the game, what is it that you have to do?
I think the main, so I've watched a bit of Liverpool this season where I can and whatnot. I think the best place would be the same where it is for us, and that's attacking the fullbacks. Because especially with Alexander-Arnold, we saw it against Newcastle with Willems, got turned very easily, doesn't look quite as defensively sound as he did last season. So that's where we could get him. But again, that's where Mount would have been brilliant. Where having him, not having him, is now even worse for the game. But as I said, I think just play the same way. It might not be quite as easy with Liverpool because of how high you press, how much you press, how much pressure that we're going to be under. But I think we can only play the game that we've been playing the rest of the season.
Check out the full version of the Oppo Insight on the RedmenTV.com. Start your free month subscription and get that as well as a whole host of other content, including the aforeseen Around the League podcast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Gents, as you say, Dad, it's tough. We don't have a full picture of Liverpool's fitness and whatever. We never do, really, do we, to be fair? Given that we, you know, Robbo didn't train.
We use physioroom.com, mate.
Yeah, no. Robbo didn't train the day before we played in the Champions League game and then goes and plays against Napoli. Why we call it preferred 11s, not the actual 11 that's going to happen, that misfortune will fall on Chris's shoulders this week.
I'm personally thinking Gomez needs a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, can he wait till MK Dons? I don't know.
The issue we had, because
you look at Milner last night against Napoli. Mm. He looked like he'd rusty, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. He'd not played for a while. And instead of being really fit and healthy, because he hadn't played for a while, he just looked a bit rusty.
And the issue with the Gomez stuff is, it makes sense. It makes sense to freshen things up. So it wouldn't shock me if there was, I think, two changes probably, just to make two changes. But it's slightly impacted by the fitness of Divock Origi and the fact that I don't think Gomez played particularly well at right back in the Super Cup in this game. We were crying out for Trent. And again, I mentioned this in the build-up to Napoli, because we're facing a situation increasingly of like, you need Trent to play every game because he's just so important to how we attack. So it's going to be a very difficult set of decisions, I think, facing Klopp this week.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd be leaning towards giving Robbo the day off. You know, I'm hesitant to say he was disappointed against Napoli. I think there were reasons why he wasn't at his absolute best.
It wasn't a game where he was bombing forward and showing that kind of ability.
No, and I think that's mainly because of maybe the injury that he was carrying. And you know, I think when you look at it now, and we're talking about one game, if he plays and aggravates anything, that's the area of the pitch where we're at our absolute weakest. Mm-hmm. And he's such an impactful player for us. If we push him one game too far and we lose him for 6, 7, 8 weeks, then that could be catastrophic to the title.
It depends what it is, doesn't it? We don't miss the problem with us not knowing, is that it was phrased as a knock. Now, a knock's a knock, you know what I mean? It's not like a strain or whatever. So you'd imagine the impact of that should, if that's the case, be slightly less. But I agree that you're right, is that it's still about how you train and how capable you are of getting yourself 100% physically ready for the match. And you're right, I think that has an impact, because we're so much about rhythm, we're so much about making sure players are ready and stuff. And Robbo probably wouldn't have been risked if we had someone even close to his level, because, you know, Firmino doesn't play last weekend because it's not too big a drop off at times. You can cope with Origi in those kind of games. I haven't said the two changes thing. It actually wouldn't shock me massively if Klopp, with the exception of maybe bringing Wijnaldum in for Milner, just goes.
That makes it definitely doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's what he does.
Just go again, lads, because we have at least got the Milton Keynes game coming up in the midweek that you can take your key components out for that if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it's about balance. We're playing important games every 3 or 4 days now, so you've got to husband your resources properly, haven't you? You know, you can't afford to run them into the ground. But at the same time, as we said earlier, you've got to win every game, so you've got to have the best players on the pitch. Really is difficult. Yeah. Who'd be a manager, eh?
No, I know, absolutely. There's nothing too. Honestly, I don't think there's anything outside of that. There's outside shouts and outside chances. Like I say, Gomez could play. Wow, someone's trying to get through the wall. There's outside shouts like Gomez could play.
Could play left back, yeah.
Yeah, as an option, depends on the fitness of Milner. You could put Oxlade-Chamberlain in for this game. You could. I don't think we will. You know, and so you're right. I think by and large, the smart.
Well, that depends on. I would think that depends on Henderson. If Henderson's fit, he'll play. If not, then Ox will play there.
Yeah, I like the matchup of Hendo more than Ox in this game because of Kante, actually, because, you know, when those two, they play the central midfield, they're rolling quite different ways, but Ox likes to run through the middle, and that's just running into Kante in this game, isn't it? Whereas at least Henderson does go more wide and might be able to pull him away, create a bit of space for Firmino if he's the guy tracking. So I prefer that matchup on paper.
Be interesting to see what they do with Kante, though, isn't it? Because, you know, like, you know, still he's carried on a little bit of the stuff from last season, hasn't he? They're not using him as a DM in the strictest of sense. You know, he basically played them more box to box against us in the Super Cup, didn't he? The Jorginho thing. So you're right, it's who are you giving up to Kante in this game?
Might depend on where they play him. If they play him wide and have Jorginho, you know, sluggishly running around midfield, then, you know, we can get away with all sorts. But if you bring Kante back into the middle, then you've got problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting decision. But as you say, I would be surprised if it was anything other than what you'd expect from the back four, back five, including the goalkeeper, and Wijnaldum to come in. It is just a Henderson fitness thing, but Oxlade-Chamberlain's not there yet.
No.
In a month's time, having had another couple of games and a few more sub appearances, I think this is very much a game that you'd bring up.
I mean, I'd like to give him a game in midweek. I'd like to see him play 90 minutes in.
Absolutely. And, I think there's a battle there to be had with him and Shaqiri, you know, and say, go on, we're going to give you this game. See who puts in the best shift and puts themselves in the pecking order. But again, right now, Shaqiri's not played enough football for us in the midfield for you to trust him in a big game like this. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, you would trust him in big games, but physically, I'm not sure. And physically and psychologically, I don't think he's quite back to his peak yet. And then again, and then you move into the front three, you're not just gonna throw Brewster in for his first, you know, his first start.
No.
Away at Chelsea.
Well, we saw him in pre-season that he was very good against lesser opposition. Yeah. When he came up against better defenders, he really struggled.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'll get better.
But
I think you need that with young lads. I think it's no disrespect to them. You need to get up, particularly as a goal scorer, confidence is so big in this. And we're seeing this with Tammy Abraham, aren't we? You know that. He didn't miss the decisive penalty against us in the Super Cup, but then once he finds his feet playing in the Premier League, he starts to get those goals. Michael Owen had this, you know. Michael Owen scores his first goal for Liverpool against Wimbledon, and then scores his second goal for Liverpool against Wimbledon the first game of the next season, and then he's away. So you know, we might find that Ryan Brewster, MK Dons is the game where he gets up and running, and then from then on.
The thing about young strikers is their confidence will drop quite dramatically if they go 10 games without scoring.
You only get one chance to get that youthful exuberance into the team, don't you?
What you need is one to bobble in off his knee and be credited to him, and then he's fine.
I take him, smack him on the top then, to be fair. But it's however it comes. Just looking at the other fixtures then around the league this weekend. Leicester hosting Spurs in the early game on Saturday. The Ev have got Sheffield United at Goodison. City hosting Watford on Sunday. West Ham hosts Man United. Arsenal got Villa in terms of the teams that we largely give a shit about. Man City, Watford. John Stones is out, isn't he? We chatted about this on Twitch.
They're a big side, Watford. Like, they're a tall side, aren't they? So they're still not getting nothing, like, but they might get something from a set piece.
Yeah. This is one of those things, isn't it, where I actually, the converse logic here applies, Dad, that I'd have actually rather Stones and Otamendi played this game because I think they've got, you know, there's so much uncertainty and it's such a big talking point, whereas they'll find another solution, I think, City, whether it's Fernandinho. They put someone left back and they put Zinchenko in the centre or whatever.
Walker's centre back, couldn't
they? Or put Walker in there.
Because they bought a new right back anyway, haven't they? They've got about 15 full-backs at that club, haven't they? So, Mendy's fit again, isn't he?
Yeah, so I think they'll be...
For now, till next week. But it's interesting, on the commentary at Norwich, they were pointing out how City seem to be vulnerable from corners and crosses. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't seem to have the central defenders who can cope. So it'll be interesting to see how Watford take that, because, as you say, they're a big lads.
I honestly can't say anything other than, I mean, if it was the other way, I think if it was a Vicarage Road, I'd think, oh, this could be, you know, because it's got that similarity. That and Carrow Road are quite similar as well in terms of atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. Like, but at City, it'd be nice. It'd be nice, but I hold no hope.
Do you know, there is something else to these injuries and stuff. I mean, how many times have we seen a team take to the field against Manchester City and know that they're beat before they start?
Yeah.
Now, if there's just a few teams over the next 4 or 5 weeks that believe they've got a chance, that that can make a big difference.
Well, and to be fair, probably the perfect time for Watford off the back of the Arsenal result last week is that'll have given them a little bit of a boost and think, you know, we go for stuff, we can make.
Yeah, they've got the new manager thing as well, haven't they?
Well, sort of.
Yeah, he's new.
the newish manager. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be putting any of my money on it, like, but. Yeah, I think the thing with this is obviously our game, they play before us, so that's one of those things. We'll keep an eye on it. It would be lovely for us to be playing for a chance of being 8 points clear of them. but yeah, I wouldn't hold any great hope out in that. Any outliers there? Anyone think anything mad's going to happen?
Well, I don't think it's mad, but I think Sheffield United are going to beat Everton.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of Sheffield United, and they're a good side.
Yeah.
They're a tough side, they're a resilient side, and they're structured, and they know exactly how they're playing footy, and it's all the things that Everton aren't.
They struggle to score goals.
I was speaking to Toffee TV lads this week, because they're a bit down in the dumps at the moment, but their thing is, like, they're brilliant at home. They think they'll beat everyone when they're at home, but it's away from home, they can't handle stuff.
But Paul, 3 weeks ago they had the best defence in the league, they were telling me.
Oh really?
So they're always saying something, and what happens is, one at a time, Everton disprove that.
Yeah, they disprove all their own theories. Yeah.
And that's what Everton and Everton fans do.
They've got theory dominoes, haven't they?
Yeah.
One just knocks over the next one, knocks over the next one. Yeah.
And you know, they'll be. What are we now? We're coming up on October. This season generally ends around now, and they give up until next year, don't they?
Yeah, the Leicester Spurs one's quite interesting, because obviously United got the result against Leicester last week, and I thought Brendan might go and do a job there. I kind of fancy Spurs again for this one, but it'll tell us a little bit, because the big talk is whether there's going to be one of those teams. There's going to be a breakout team from that little clutch between sort of seventh and ninth, Leicester, Wolves, Everton, potentially West Ham, etc., etc.
No, you look at Wolves, they're in relegation at the moment.
Well, yeah, exactly. But if this will tell us a bit about Leicester, obviously at home, if they are able to take points off Spurs, I think that reaffirms them as that most likely side.
It's something that you've always said, though. It's like, you just need to string a few results to go massively up the table in those positions, isn't it? And it's also very easy to just lose two games on the bounce when you're one of those sides.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Leicester did win. It wouldn't surprise me if Leicester lost. But then equally, Leicester could then go on a three-game win streak and be back up there again.
It's still early enough in the season to do that. You know, you score, you get three or four wins and you go up the table. You know, in 4 or 5 games' time, it starts to become really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck down in the bottom three, and you're never getting out because everyone matches your results.
The thing that's worth noting on that is obviously Spurs play Wednesday night in the Champions League, whereas Leicester will have had a week's break between things as well. And you know, against
is it Olympiacos? Are they away?
The early kickoff on the Wednesday. I don't know the answer to that. But yeah, you know, a potential contributing factor. You know, we're seeing that we always go on about this European thing, European hangover.
We seem to have ours in Europe.
Yeah, we had the ale too early. That's our problem.
All on the Menabrea in Naples.
To
like,
be fair, those European ways, I'm normally hungover by half time, so I can't imagine how the players feel. But yeah, there you go. Some interesting stuff potentially this weekend, but no more interesting than our game of football against Chelsea. Dad, what do you think the score is going to be?
2-0.
Okay, Chris.
2-1 to Liverpool.
I'll take a 3-1 to Liverpool in this one. It wouldn't shock me to see it be either 1-0 to Chelsea or 1-1 at some point. But I think we'll win this over the full 90, if that makes sense. Is that I don't think this game is going to be done and dusted in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think it might be one where they, kind of like Napoli was meant to go, you know, they'll blow themselves out and we'll just have that bit extra to just put
It's mad how we did that against Napoli. We'd done the hard work. We battled through the first half. We got to 75. They were blowing out their arse.
Yeah.
And somehow we ended up losing.
2-0. Yeah. But again, it shows you these things can happen, and Liverpool need to do everything in their power. I think, we've got to take those chances. We've got to be a bit more clinical. We can't afford to have back-to-back games where Mane, Salah, Firmino is just that. We need that.
You can't afford to rely on VAR getting things right. So.
Yeah, it's true.
And just for anyone who was in the player ratings last night, I can't remember the name of your comment, the comment, but the you'll know you'll know who you are. The comment about our front three, about how we need to improve on them. It was one game they didn't score in that. One game hilarious. Away from home.
People are weird.
There was no need for
if
that.
If you want good, more examples of that,
good, good luck with improving on them.
Yeah, good luck. Honestly, yeah, all the best by him better than those three. Anyway, thank you very much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. As I say, check out the Oppo Insight on the redmentv.com. And, of course, midweek final word shows this season to the Champions League. And, of course, Milton Keynes, etc. are going to be on there. So all the analysis that you need this season and beyond will be on the redmentv.com. Thank you very much. See you all soon. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.